Praise the Lord.
All right, folks, let's grab our hymnals once again. And let's stand at this time for our final hymn tonight. I'd like to sing hymn number 29 because it talks about a glorious day when we all get to heaven. Amen. Yeah, how we're looking forward to that. We're going to sing the first, third, and fourth of hymn 29. First, third, and fourth. What a day that'll be. Think about it.
Sing the wondrous of all Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. One plus one being true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. Yeah, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all Jesus, will sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon those pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen, amen. Please be seated, church. Oh, yes. Think about that day. It is coming. We know that. If we're born again, redeemed by the blood, regenerated by the Spirit of God, we're going to be on those streets of gold. Oh, what a day that'll be. Let's grab our Bibles at this time, folks, and open up to the book of Hosea. I'll give you a hint, it's in the Old Testament. little book of Hosea. You'll find it just after Daniel. And get over to Hosea chapter 9 tonight. I particularly love the book of Hosea, minor prophet of the Old Testament, because it reminds me so much of America, sadly. The people of God had fallen away from the Lord God of Israel. It's just before the book of Joel, just after the book of Daniel, Hosea chapter 9. And Hosea's book is a call to repentance. Amen. And God is calling out for His people to return to Him. And I believe, beloved, tonight in America, God is calling out for America as a nation to return to Him. And I believe that revival is the only hope for America tonight. It's not Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or any of those politicians, but it is the living God. Amen. I'm so glad we know where our bread is buttered. I'm so glad we know where our strength lieth, and it's in Jesus Christ, Him alone. Tonight, I want to speak to you a message not on the backslidden Israel, what we find here in Hosea, but on the sign of the fig tree. I want to encourage you tonight, and I want to speak on the sign of the fig tree. I want to start by reading here in Hosea chapter 9. In Hosea chapter 9, look with me at verse 10. God is speaking. He says, I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time, but they went to Baal-peor. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for the passage before us, that, Lord, you liken the nation of Israel, the forefathers of Israel, as a ripe fig tree. And Lord, sadly, the verse goes on to say they went to Baal Peor. They fell into idolatry. And Lord God, I believe tonight that you are getting ready to bring back the fig tree, to restore it in a glorious kingdom that will last for 1,000 years. And Lord, before that occurs, we know that there will be a 7-year tribulation period. There will be an Antichrist, and all of the prophecies of Scripture shall be fulfilled. But, oh God, there is the sign of the fig tree, which is designed to bring encouragement not only to Israel as a nation, but to the whole world who believe on Jesus Christ, that He is coming quickly. Lord, I pray you bless your word tonight. Give us spiritual understanding in the signs of the fig tree. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Now, folks, tonight, you and I are living in the most exciting time in the history of this world. Because I believe that we are the generation that will be alive to see the coming of Jesus Christ back to this earth. He's going to set up a 1,000-year kingdom. He's going to rule and reign the universe from Jerusalem, the holy city, indeed. So tonight, I'll be brief. I want to give you two things that we must consider concerning the sign of the fig tree. First, we must identify who the fig tree is, because a lot of people don't understand that within Christendom. Secondly, we must consider what does it mean for us today, the sign of the fig tree. So first, who is this fig tree? Exactly. Look at our text again. In Hosea 9, in verse number 10, we read, clearly, I found Israel. Now, he's speaking about ethnic Jews, that is the physical ethnic seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through the 12 patriarchs, not through Esau. Okay? Very important. They're Jews. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I like grapes. You love grapes? Oh, they're sweet. They're juicy. They're good. And God says they were good. They were sweet. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree. The first ripe. There's great spiritual significance there. At her first time. This, beloved, he is speaking about the inauguration of the elect nation of this world, which is Israel. It's not Africa. It's not Australia. It's not America. It's Israel. And he says they were pure like sweet grapes. They were good. And then they fell to Baal Peor. But clearly this verse identifies who the fig tree is. Notice the likening to the fig tree at her first time. That's her first time. Her first time is the first. A fig tree will grow, but they will not produce fruit until about the 10th to 12th year. Because it has to grow to a certain maturity before it can produce fruit. And he says, this fig tree I planted, and I nourished it, I watered it, and it brought forth fruit for the first time. It was a time of love between the nation of Israel and the God of Israel. And oh, what a beautiful relationship we see here between the two. It's Israel and her God. Go with me to Joel. Flip ahead past Hosea to Joel chapter number 2. We'll see it again. Who is this fig tree? The Bible clearly identifies her in Joel chapter 2. Look with me at verse 21. Fear not, O land. Land of what? He's speaking to Israel here. We know that from the context. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. He's going to do great things for Israel. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field. That's a picture of the Gentiles. For the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree, and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, that's Jerusalem, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. God says, cheer up, Israel, you are my fig tree. You're like a precious vine in the earth to me, which I planted long ago, and I am going to give you the latter rain. That's a picture of the Holy Spirit of God coming down into the nation of Israel. They will be born again in a day. What a miracle! Do you realize, folks, what this means? It simply means this. There's coming a day. It's yet future. We know that because it hasn't happened yet. We're all living Jews who survived the seven-year tribulation. Not many will. We know two-thirds will be destroyed. But the surviving Jews will accept their Messiah, Jesus Christ, acknowledging they were wrong 2,000 years ago, receiving him as a nation. That's what he wanted 2,000 years ago. He wanted joint reception of the nation, and the Holy Spirit will come down into them. They'll be born in a day. Oh, it's incredible. The fig tree here in verse number 23 is identified as the children of Zion. We know that's Jerusalem in Israel. Habakkuk. Flip over to Habakkuk and go with me to Habakkuk chapter number 3. You're getting a real sword drill tonight. These Old Testament minor prophets, it's tough to get familiar with them, you know, because most preachers don't go to them very often. But there's so much great material in these prophets. The prophecies are just amazing and how they apply to us today. Habakkuk chapter 3. Look at this. Right now we're identifying who the fig tree is, okay? And these replacement theologians who believe America is the fig tree, they believe British Israelites are the fig tree, they believe, Africans are the fig tree, they don't understand the Word of God because it's so clear when you see it. In Habakkuk chapter 3, look with me at verse 17. The prophet writes by the Holy Ghost, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines." That's a picture of spiritual death. Israel, listen to me. God is not happy with Israel tonight. She is spiritually dead because she's rejected his son. "The labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls." He said it's going to be broken down, destroyed. That occurred in AD 70 by the Romans. Yet, look at this. "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singers on my stringed instruments." Here, in the prophecy of Habakkuk, speaking to the nation of Israel, God says, you're going to go through a period of spiritual death, but I'm going to resurrect you. In the end, you're going to look at it. You're going to blossom, and you're going to rejoice in the Lord your God. The God of your salvation. That day is coming. It hasn't occurred yet because Israel has not received Jesus Christ corporately. That's all he's looking for, is unanimous joint reception of the Messiah. And they will one day. Go with me to Joel. Flip over to the book of Joel. And what a powerful, powerful book Joel is. We read there in chapter 2 just a moment ago. But go to Joel chapter 1, just after Hosea, to Joel chapter 1. Look with me at verse number, we won't be long tonight, but look with me at verse number 6. I'm so glad our eyes are open, church, tonight. We know where we're heading, and we know God has great plans for the nation of Israel. Every true Christian should know that. In Joel chapter 1, verse 6, "For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion." He, this was Nebuchadnezzar, of course, destroyed Israel, Jerusalem, I should say. "He hath laid my vine waste." Now, going further into prophecy, it's speaking of the Romans, of course, who destroyed it all. Babylon, that was minor. The siege of Jerusalem in AD 70, folks, just in case you don't know, slaughtered 1.2 million Jews. Not one Christian died. Not one. You know why? The Christians fled because they believed the prophecies that destruction was coming upon Jerusalem because they rejected the Messiah. Not one Christian died in that siege, but 1.2 million Jews were killed. "He hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree." You know, you bark a tree, there's nothing left but the core. "He hath made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white," but that tree, you bark it, it's still alive. You know, it's not dead. It's still got roots in the earth. "Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth." See, she lost her love, the Lord. "The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord." There hasn't been any sacrifices. There's no temple in Jerusalem for 2,000 years now, nearly. right? The priests, the Lord's ministers mourn. Why? They have nothing to do. They have no temple. The field is wasted. The land mourneth. The corn is wasted. The new wine is dried up. The oil languisheth. They got no oil. They don't have the Holy Spirit. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen. Those are the leaders of Israel. Howl, ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. They're spiritually dried up. That's Israel today. The vine, look at it. The vine is dried up. And the fig tree, the what? Oh yeah, the fig tree languisheth. Now we know he's talking about Israel here. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree, also in the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Look with me here in verse number 12. The vine is dried up, the fig tree languisheth. Two incredible portraits of the nation of Israel that God uses throughout Scripture is the vine, Israel, that he planted, and the fig tree. And Jesus came along in John chapter 15, and he said, I am the true vine. That vine rejected him. And he said, I am the true vine. He was a Jew, 100% completely, and he was sent from God, the Son of God, to save the world. And he said, you don't need that vine, you need me. And that vine rejected the true vine. Are you listening? That vine was the fig tree. That's Israel, clearly. Now look with me in Jeremiah. Flip back to the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, chapter 24. We're laying groundwork here for who the fig tree is. We'll get to the New Testament soon enough. But look in Jeremiah chapter 24. Incredible passage here makes it so clear, unmistakable, who she is. Jeremiah 24, the Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of what? Figs were set before the temple of the Lord. After that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, with the carpenters and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. This is speaking of the 70-year captivity of Jerusalem, of the Israel in Babylon, right? And he says, look what happens after Nebuchadnezzar came. He takes them all captive to Babylon, right? Back in Jerusalem, which the temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, he sees two baskets of figs. One basket, verse 2, one basket had very good figs. That is a picture of true believers under the Old Testament covenant. Even like the figs that are first ripe. And the other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. Poisonous. Kill you if you eat them. Picture of unbelieving Jews. Then said the Lord unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, figs. The good figs very good, and the evil very evil. That cannot be eaten, they're so evil. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. Notice that captivity was ultimately for their good. They repented. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land. Yeah, 7 decades later. And I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. And I will give them an heart to know me, second advent, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. God prophesies through the man Jeremiah that there's coming a day when Israel will be restored. Yes, they're carried away to Babylon. Yes, they're in bondage to the heathen right now. But I have not forgotten them. And he says there's coming a day when they will receive me and they will love me with their whole hearts. Folks, that day has not come yet. That day is yet future. And they will. Because how do I know that? The Bible says so. You can bank your immortal soul on what the Bible says. That's how sure this book is. It's never failed. No prophecy has ever not occurred the way God said it would. He's a truth teller. Now, clearly we find in these passages that the fig tree is the nation of Israel. Right? That's pretty clear. But secondly, tonight, let us consider, what does this mean for us today? Why am I preaching this message tonight about the fig tree, about Israel and all this? What does it mean for us today? Let's see if we can't find out in the New Testament. Go to Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 11, and you need the whole Bible. Amen? These guys will say, oh, this is not for me, and that's not for me. And I believe the whole Bible is for us in one of three ways. It's for you either spiritually, doctrinally, historically, or prophetically. It's all for you. Once you get that, then you'll understand that it's, oh, wow, it's for me. And in some way, it's all for me. Look in Mark chapter 11. What does this mean for us concerning this fig tree? The Bible's going to tell us clearly what it means for the Gentiles, for believers on Messiah, who will receive Jesus Christ and are saved by the blood. In Mark chapter 11, look with me at verse number 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he, Jesus, was hungry. He was a man. He had a human body just like us. And seeing a what? Fig tree, afar off, having leaves, he came. If haply, that's by chance, he might find anything thereon, fruit. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, he's talking to the fig tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Beloved, in verse 14, the Lord Jesus makes a statement. He cursed the fig tree. Right now, let me explain something to you. Israel is in bondage. Israel is spiritually blind as a bat. She can't see her own Savior, the Son of God. And she's living under the Old Testament curse. The last word of the Old Testament is a curse, right? She's still under that curse. Anyone in this world tonight that is not born again, does not know Jesus Christ, washed in the blood, has the Holy Spirit within, is cursed with an everlasting curse unless they get saved. They can get saved. So can the fig tree, okay? But here we find him cursing the fig tree, which is a picture of who? Israel. We just proved that from Scripture. Oh, this is so important. Look at verse 20. Same chapter, verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Hey, folks, when a tree dries up from the roots, it loses all life. The roots are the only hope for it to regenerate, right? It loses all life. 21. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Look at that. It's withered away, Master. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. He says, this fig tree, which is dried up and dead, is a picture of the Israelites who will reject me. And he says, you boys, my disciples, have faith in me. Just believe on me and you'll be just fine. Oh, that's so clear here. Luke chapter 13. In Luke chapter 13, we'll see it again. This fig tree. What meaneth it for us today? Luke chapter 13. Now, a lot of preachers, a lot of theologues, make a huge mistake at this point. They believe, oh yeah, we believe the fig tree represents Israel. They say, yeah, we believe that. Yeah, we believe they're cursed. Yep, we believe that too. And we believe that the church has replaced Israel, and they will never rise again. God is through with the Jews forever, and they are wrong. Replacement theology is straight out of the pit of hell. Don't let them lie to you and tell you that God is through with Israel. He's far from through with Israel. With the plans that he has for them in this book are incredible as you study the prophecies. But in Luke chapter number 13, look with me at verse 6. Clearly, he's not through with them. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a what? Fig tree planted in his vineyard. That's Israel. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. First coming. Look at it. Luke chapter 13, Verse 7. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he, the vine dresser, picture the Holy Spirit, answering, said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it, and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Now notice clearly here in this parable of the fig tree, that when Jesus Christ came to the fig tree, he found no fruit thereon. He found rejection. He found disappointment, right? No life, no spiritual life. That was Israel at the first coming. And the Lord says, well, why don't we just cut it down, right? Now, he would never do this, but this is how, you know, the Lord speaks for us to understand. And the dresser of the vine, the Holy Spirit says, hold on. Look at it here in verse number 8. He says, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it. That's breaking up the fallow, hardened ground, you know, putting some good, what do they call it, miracle growth, yeah, all this good stuff, and cause it to bring forth fruit. That's a picture of the church age where the Holy Spirit, you know there's Jews that are saved today? You all know that, your hands are up. There's Jews saved all over the world today. Don't let anybody tell you no Jew is saved. Look at Dr. Arnold Fruchtenbaum's ministry, REL Ministries. There's thousands and thousands of saved Jews all over the world. They love the Lord just like you. But he was looking for fruit. Now, listen. During the church age, the Holy Spirit is digging up that hardened, fallow ground. He's pouring in water and nutrients and trying to get them to receive the Messiah. And some are. Some are. Look at verse 9. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, after what? The church age dispensation of grace, thou shalt cut it down. He says, if nobody brings forth fruit, if we find no life on this tree, then we'll just burn it in the fire, and that'll be it. But I've got good news. There's always been some fruit from this tree. There always has been a remnant of true believers within Israel. They're called in the New Testament the Israel of God. Okay, that's not you. You're not the Israel of God. You're so much more special than the Israel of God. The Israel of God is comprised of Jews who receive Messiah. The church of God is his bride. That's you and I. We have such a more precious position. Don't ever envy the Jews because they're going to be restored and have the millennial kingdom. Hey, we're his bride. Oh, what a position we have in the scope of eternity, folks. We're so blessed tonight. But go to Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew's gospel, the Lord speaks so clearly of the fig tree. It's amazing. In Matthew 24, he names it. In Matthew chapter number 24, look with me at verse 3. You know it. It's the Olivet Discourse. And we all are familiar with the Olivet Discourse. And look at verse 3. As he, Messiah, sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, Lord, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? You know, Jesus answers all three of those questions throughout this passage. He answers all three of them. He's going to tell them exactly. He had just gotten through telling them in verses 1 and 2 that the temple will be destroyed. There won't be one stone standing upon another shortly. That was happened in AD 70. But he says, there's coming a day of restoration. I'll set up a glorious kingdom for you, Israel. And they say, when? Now, look at verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. We got so much deception in the world tonight, folks. Isn't it sad? We've got preachers who won't preach the truth. We've got politicians who lie. Hello. We've got, there's so much, we've got fake news. Hello. There's so much deception in the world. Isn't it a disgrace? All we want is the truth. I'm watching this afternoon on Fox News, and they're talking about the great success of the presidential visit to the Middle East and all that he accomplished. And I flipped the channel, mistakenly, to CNN, and they're talking about impeaching him. Hello? Who's telling the truth here? Sometimes we don't know, because they only tell you what they want to tell you, fake news, you know? But I'm so glad Jesus isn't that way. I'm so glad he always tells the truth, right? And in here in Matthew 24, he's about to tell the truth about his second coming. Look at it, verse 32. Verse 32, we read, now learn, words in red, Jesus speaking. Now learn a parable of the what? Fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things. What things, Jesus? All of the horrific events of the tribulation period that he just outlined for them in the previous 32 verses. He told them what's going to happen. He told them about the Antichrist. He told them about the abomination of desolation. He told them about the worldwide persecution of the Jewish people. And he says in 33, so likewise ye. Now, time out. Who is Jesus talking to? Here's where we get a lot of false theology. He's not talking to the church. He's talking to the Jews, right? The Jews came to him in verse 1 and said, tell us when these things shall be. Watch what he says to the Jews. So likewise ye, physical ethnic Jews, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. What is near? His second advent. Verily I say unto you, truly, this generation shall not pass till all things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Drop down with me to verse 42. The sign of the fig tree is when the fig tree is young and tender. That occurred in 1948. I'll give you a hint. Drop down with me to verse number 42. Same chapter. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Jesus says, boys, don't worry about any of these signs. Just know that you need to be ready. Just be ready. That's it. You know what, folks? Tonight, I believe what the Lord is looking for from his people, faithfulness. Just faithfulness. Keep on keeping on. Don't give up that Bible. Don't quit praying. Don't quit going to church. Don't stop worshiping the Lord, because I'm coming quickly. He says, verse 44, therefore, because you know these things. What things? The sign of the fig tree, found in verse 32. Learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, he's making a comparison between the early birth of the nation of Israel, which occurred in 1948, and the fulfillment of the second advent. See it? See that it's connected. 33. So likewise, when you see these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation. What generation? The generation of the tender newborn fig tree. Israel, a miracle occurred in last century that was what I consider the greatest miracle of the 20th century. The birth of a nation in one day. When the United Nations declared that Israel a nation again, after 2,000 years, they became a nation again. They had their own land. That's a miracle, okay? And he said that generation from 1948 forward would not pass away until all these Second Advent prophecies are fulfilled. Are you seeing it now? Now watch. When Jesus comes, now from 1948, there's three generations in the Bible. There's a 100-year generation, that's an Egyptian generation. There's a 40-year generation, that's a Gentile generation. There's a 70-year generation, that's a Jewish generation. If you take 1948, I'm not very good at math, but if you add 70 years, which is a Jewish generation to that, what year do you come out with?
2018.
We're a few months from 2018. Nobody's setting dates. We don't do that. It's against the Bible. But I'm simply saying that this generation from 1948 is about to pass away. And Jesus said it won't pass away until all these things be fulfilled, meaning the second coming could occur before I finish this message. I got good news tonight, church. He's coming quickly because the fig tree is ripe. The whole world is ready for his return. And when he comes, you and I are going to be so glad we were faithful. We're going to be so thankful for his grace and what he's done in our lives. And we will be his bride forever. Israel has a special place, but you and I have a much more special place. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for the sign of the fig tree. Lord, we thank you that it's about to blossom and bud and bring forth fruit for the first time in 2,000 years. Lord, we're looking forward to that day when the nation of Israel is restored and glorified and receives her Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. She will, the Bible says so clearly. We thank you, Lord, that that has not occurred yet, but we know it will. In the meantime, Lord, you said to us, therefore, be ye also ready. For ye know not in such an hour that the Lord cometh, but we know that he cometh. So, Lord, help us to live our lives day after day in your love and by your grace and led by your Spirit. And help us to keep our nose buried in this book, Lord, because the days are evil. The world is growing darker and darker. And, oh God, how we need thee. How we need thee every hour, the song says. Lord, we thank you for your indwelling presence. That you, wherever we go, you go with us. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. We love you tonight and we thank you for these great plans that you have for the nation of Israel. And we thank you more particularly for the great plans you have for us. Lord, I'm so thankful that when Israel's restored and the 1,000-year millennial kingdom is set up at Jerusalem, your headquarters, we will be sitting with you in the throne, reigning with you as your queen. Thank you, Lord, for these truths tonight. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. We'll have a time of invitation, a time of singing and worshiping of the Lord prior to closing. Altar is open if you need it. For any need, the Lord is here. I was saying this morning after our message, we were having our invitation, I said, you know, there's somebody in front of this pulpit. His name is Jesus Christ. In his arms at this altar, we have a padded altar, by the way. and his arms are wide open. He says, come. Whatever your need is, come, and I'll take care of that need. Amen? Oh, you're so good. Let's open up our hymnals tonight to hymn 84. Don't you just love him? That's why you're here tonight. Not for me. You're here because you love Jesus.
I was dreaming about someone that's like, I was like,
dang,
someone wasn't good. Yeah.
Yeah,
that was weird.
Right. Oh, man. My Jesus, I love thee. We'll sing the first, the second, and the fourth, people.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory
Tonight, what a blessing to worship with you all in the house of God. So good to meet Brother Doug tonight. I'm going to ask, are you able to dismiss us in prayer, brother? Amen. Praise the Lord.
Lord, we thank you for this night of worship.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for new bread.
Yes.
Lord, we can't wait for your second coming.
Mm.
And Lord, we pray for those people out there that are searching, Lord. They're searching for something in their life. May they realize that that's you, Lord.
Mm.
And Lord, we pray that as many souls that are searching for you find you, Lord. These things we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen.